this! And this! You had me beaten when I was little more than an infant. My father was beaten with the rod because he was old and slow. You never made me cry out. Why are you wailing? Can't you take your own medicine?
Tullgrew covered her eyes again, but Brom watched in horrified fascination.
He's going to beat Badrang to death. I can hear him yelling from here.
But the tyrant was not crying out needlessly.
Mooshank! Mooshank! Mooshank!
Chapter 37.
Baldred perched on the fallen sycamore as she related all she had seen.
The first place I stopped at was a camp on the southeast cliffs. There were many creatures there. A hare and a badger seemed to be in charge. Balor and Roanoke.
I have not heard of these creatures.
Baldred held up a talon.
Let me continue. It'll soon become clear. I spoke to them of Brome, and they assured me that he was alive and well. When I told them of you, there were many there who knew the name of Martin. One, an old squirrel named Barkjohn, sends you a message.
Martin leaped up, unable to constrain himself.
Barkjohn? Oh, Barkjohn! He's Feldo's father. What did he tell you, Baldred?
He told me that his son had gone alone to face Badrang. Every able-bodied creature in the camp was armed, and they are planning to go to Feldo's rescue. That is, if he still lives. Either way, they will attack the fortress called Marshank, where the Evil One rules with his horde of vermin.
Martin's eyes shone with the desire to be in the midst of battle.
The creatures in this camp on the cliffs, are they a great army?
Alas, no. I have seen the comings and goings at Marshank before. Badrang's horde is far too vast to be opposed. The creatures at the camp are brave, but pitifully few compared to the horde.
I must go now.
Martin jumped down from the sycamore trunk. Baldred nodded.
The old squirrel Barkjohn is a shrewd beast. He said that you would act thus, and here is his message to you. Tell Martin if he is coming to travel with all speed and bring plenty of help.
Arya looked at Baldred anxiously.
Did you see my son Brome? Did you speak to him?
Baldred spread her wings wide.
There was no time. I had many things to do. The hare Balor assured me that Brome was lively as a grasshopper and fit as a flea. The badger Roanoke confirmed this. She seemed like a wise and sensible creature. Badgers usually are.
Arya climbed down from the sycamore and took Martin's paw.
Bring my son back to me, please, Martin. I beg you.
Rose leaped down to join Martin and her mother.
We will, Mama. Don't worry.
Rose, how can you go?
Uranvaux gazed sternly at his daughter.
Is it not enough that we have Brome caught up in a war far from home?
I must go. Martin and I are the only ones who would stand a chance of bringing Brome back to Noonvale.
Hey, you not leave nothing here, Mizzy.
Hallam and Grum joined paws with Martin and Rose. Another little paw sneaked in to clasp theirs.
Her, say word, and Bungo's with you.
Grum ruffled the dark, velvety head of the infant.
Grr, you've got to stay here and chop up me girt tree. I want to see it chopped up small when nothing's come back.
Martin looked at Uranvaux, who nodded. Then he raised his voice so that all could hear.
Is any beast with us? You heard, Baldred. We need plenty of help.
The otter quartet, several moles and a few hedgehogs stood forward. Martin counted. 16 in all, including his 3 friends.
I am sorry, Martin, but we are not warriors. My creatures do not have any knowledge of battle. Many have families to care for. Those who have volunteered to go with you are few, but brave. None of them have ever used a weapon, yet they are prepared to go and help you with their very lives.
Martin bowed to his small army.
I thank you with all my heart.
Baldred tut-tutted slightly and shook her head.
I've always said that the trouble with young creatures is they never listen properly, especially hot-headed warriors. Did you not hear me tell Arya that I never stopped to search for Brome because I had things to do?
Things? What things?
Things that only a wise owl would think of, like getting an army together for you. But let's deal with first things first. We've got to find the shortest route to Marshank and get you there as quickly as possible. Now, I don't wish to preen myself on this matter, but I am the foremost pathfinder, mapmaker, and researcher of this whole country, from beyond here to the Eastern Sea. Find me a clear space, some beast.
The moles patted a bare patch of soil flat as Rose went off with Arya and Uranvaux to gather provisions for the journey. Baldred crooked the claw at Martin.
Come here, warrior, and pay attention.
Martin sat and watched, fascinated as the owl's skillful talons marked out the route.
This is the broad stream here. You came the long way round to Noonvale, probably because you were washed up down the far south coast. Marshank is farther north, facing the eastern sea. There is a much simpler way back to the coast. I know this, and so does Starward. At this moment, he'll probably have just arrived at a wide tributary, 2 hours' journey from here to the north of Noonvale. So the sooner you get going, the quicker you'll be able to join him and get underway.
Martin stood upright.
What happens then, Baldred?
The owl blinked impatiently.
Leave that to me. I'm coming too.
Rose and her parents had just finished putting together some food and drink in packs when Martin strolled into the cottage. Rose took the small shrew sword from its peg behind the door and held it out to Martin.
You gave this up freely. Now I give it back to you.
The warrior thrust the sword into his belt.
I'm ready.
Fair and freedom!
The cart rattled and bumped, leaping off the ground as it struck humps and clumps on the cliff top. It roared forward with Balor and Keela holding to its jolting bed as they waved the streaming banner aloft. Roanoke pounded along. Sinew and muscle bunching and stretching, she towed the careering cart. The Fair and Freedom fighters pushed as they pelted madly alongside. Brome could not stop himself. At the sight of Feldo going down, fighting amid a welter of horde vermin, he dashed forward down the cliffside, sobbing and calling his friend's name aloud.
Feldo! Oh, Feldo, I'm coming!
But Feldo did not hear his young companion. He lay with a calm smile on his face, surrounded by a score of slain horde beasts who had died trying to defeat him. Padrang rushed back to the fort, away from the carnage in the broken javelins. The memory burned into his beaten skull of the roaring, laughing squirrel who had died with a shattered piece of timber in each paw, still taking ferrets, rats and weasels with him as he went. As Marshank's gate slammed shut, the cart sped by Brome, scattering the last few venturesome horde members. It ground to a halt next to Feldo's body. Roanoke leaped from the shafts as the first wave of arrows flew from the wall tops.
Dig in! Turn the cart on its side! Get to cover, quick!
Balor assembled his throwers behind the cart.
Take your range, chaps, and drop those javelins in just over the wall top. You others, pick up any weapons you find lying about. That's the ticket. Slingers, get those stones from the cart. Look lively now, lads!
Brome staggered up, tears streaming from him as he undid his healing bag and pulled out herbs and bandages. Bark John sat with his son's head cradled in his lap, dry-eyed.
He won't be needing those, young one. Save them for the living. My son has gone to the Silent Forest where he'll always be free.
Brome sat with Bark John. The old squirrel wiped away the young mouse's tears.
It's good to grieve for a friend who has gone. He looks so happy and peaceful.
Brome shook his head. Placing a paw about Bark John's shoulders, he said,
I've never seen anything like it. He was laughing aloud. It took a score and a half to get him down, and he still slew most of them. It was as if he knew his fate.
Bark John nodded.
Never afraid. Always a true warrior. That was Feldo's way.
The side of the cart was thick with quivering arrows. Balor barked out a sharp command.
Up and at 'em, javelins!
The line of throwers leapt up, flung their weapons off and dropped back down. Immediately Balor called to the slingers.
Quick as you like! One volley of stones! Go!
The slingers stood, threw and dropped back down. Howls and screams greeted the wave of javelins that dropped in on the archers at the wall top. They stood up to retaliate and met the volley of sling stones, zinging up hard on the heels of the javelins. Crosstooth grabbed Wetpaw and Fleabane.
Take 50 fighters apiece over the back wall and spread out left and right. Advance along the shore and dig in. We'll have them cut off at both sides, with a fort in front of them and the sea behind. They'll have to surrender or die.
Buckler saw the horde beasts pouring out either side of Marshank. He found Roanoke.
Look it, us'ns all have to protect ye flanks.
Caston, Gouchy, Trefoil and Celandine helped to shore up 2 long hillocks of sand either side of the cart. The slingers were split up and detailed to both sides, whilst the javelin throwers concentrated on the front facing the fortress. Inside the fortress, Badrang lay on the longhouse table while Boggs and Grouch dressed his wounds. The tyrant had been beaten black and blue before his soldiers got to the rescue, and his head, face, shoulders and back were a welter of ugly lumps and long bruises. He arched his back painfully as Boggs treated the long javelin scratch.
Ha ha, matey! I thought you'd run into an army, but they tells me 'twere only one hard-nosed squirrel. Scorch me sails, but he did a right good job on yer. Ha 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 ha!
Bazran glared at Clog through puffy eyes.
Get out of my sight. You're bad luck to me, Clog.
Boggs applied a dockleaf poultice to Badrang's shoulder.
Stay still, sire. Here, hold that in place.
Clog did a little jig in the doorway.
Aye, you hold still, your mightiness, lest your ugly head drops off.
Badrang made as if to rise and grab his sword. Clog scuttled off, chuckling to himself.
I'll have the last laugh yet. Now where's the galley round here? I might as well eat and drink me fill, seeing as all the rest are too busy warring and fighting for glory.
Balor gave a sharp gasp. He plucked out the arrow sticking from his paw and snapped it.
Ach! Ruin me best eaten and gesturing paw, rotters!
Brome sat down behind the cart. Cleaning the wound, he applied a comfrey poultice and bound the paw with a clean linen strip.
Good as new, eh, what?
Balor held it up, admiring the dressing.
I say, Brome, old lad, you're getting to be a bit of a dab paw at this healing lock.
Wordlessly, the young mouse crawled off to the next casualty. Noon brought a lull in the fighting. The sun beat mercilessly down on the beach, and there was not even a welcome breeze. Behind Roanoke's back, the sea shimmered, showing hardly a wave. The badger dusted sand from her paws as she gratefully accepted food from Keela.
It's only a mouthful of water and a scone. We don't know how long we'll be stuck here.
Trefoil nibbled at her scone.
Stuck is the right word, Keela. We're boxed off on three sides, with the sea behind us if we fancy drowning ourselves.
Celandine sipped daintily at a scallop shell of water.
Drown ourselves? Oh, how horrible. It'd ruin my tail.
Caston was making a bow with some springy wood and a cord.
Well, it's either that or carry on fighting a horde about 30 times greater than us. I should think that'd ruin your tail in the long run, Miss Fussbudget.
Buckler came to sit by Caston.
What be you making a bow for?
Well, there are so many arrows lying about and sticking out of everywhere. It seems a shame to waste them.
Roanoke shook her head in admiration.
What an efficient trooper. Hey, Groot, see if you can make a few bows and help Caston to use all these arrows messing the place up.
Yarrow looked at Roanoke strangely.
You're rambling, Rosehip players. You seem to make a joke of everything. Don't you realise we're in the middle of a battle fighting for our lives?
Balor patted his head with a bandaged paw.
What do you want us to do then, laddie buck? Break down and weep? Make the best of the situation, my boy. Smile!
The cart shook under a rattle of arrows, several piercing the wood by half a shaft length.
Ah, well, back to work. What?
Yarrow yawned, fitting a stone to his sling. Balor launched a javelin and ducked low.
Cheeky blighter!